I'm not really old. I'm only 80. I'm hanging around for the Queen's Telegram, or King's Telegram. Actually, I was good. I really enjoyed seeing Reuben playing the drums this morning, because it took me back to when Tim was that age. And we let Tim loose down at St. Sid's on the drums in the meetings. And to this day, he will tell you when he's giving a testimony that that acceptance was a key part of his journey into faith. So there we are. But thank you, all the musicians and indeed the technicians, for all that you're doing. Right, now, I'm hoping this is going to work, is it? No? Which one do I press? Oh, that one. Helps to press the right button, doesn't it? So we're talking about God, the Holy Spirit, and life-giving freedom. And this is the scripture that we read earlier. Through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, the more I began to look into this, I sensed God speaking to me. I think the idea was to sort of, you know, look at the theology and break all this stuff down. But I've already admitted to Matt, I'm being a bit naughty, straying from the script a little bit, because I sense God saying to me, and I hope it's right, to look at some of the things that I've observed of what the Holy Spirit does in us in order to help us to walk in this freedom. You'll find out what I'm on about. Because I remember when I first got baptized with the Holy Spirit, God did something very radical in my life. And I always remember Jack Hardwidge, who was partly responsible, saying, remember, baptism of the Spirit is a gateway and not a goal. It's just entering into something. And let me just start and look at, see what the Holy Spirit would do in us. It's a weird picture, isn't it? And I want to take you way back to Ephesus, when Paul, on his second missionary journey, he rocked up to Ephesus, and he said, he found the disciples there, and he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, what are you on about, Paul? Never heard of such a thing. Well, not quite that, but they reckoned they'd never heard of the Holy Spirit. So Paul then explained about that, got them baptized in water, and then it goes on, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. It's one of the several occasions in the Acts of the Apostles where you see people being filled with the Spirit. But what interests me, so he's been there to Ephesus, and he did go again on his third missionary journey. I'm sure more people joined the church. But look, a few years later, he's writing to the church and he's saying this. Don't get drunk on wine. That leads to debauchery, leads to sin. Don't do that. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Hang on, Paul. What are you on about? You've already been filled with the Spirit. He said so back in Ephesus. They've been. And I imagine if I said that to Paul, he'd probably do a dad's army and say, stupid boy. because what we're looking at here is an ongoing thing. If I said to you, for instance, if you want to be healthy, you need to eat. Would you think, okay, well, I'll eat once and that's it. I don't need to eat anymore. That's not how it works. And the way this verse is written, the way it would have been understood is that there's a continual process of receiving the Holy Spirit. And listen, two decisions to make there. I don't know if you heard the Plymouth Argyle manager going on, gloating about getting promoted. And they said to him, what are you going to do now? He said, go on, get drunk. We deserve it. So you can decide to go and get drunk. That will lead to sin, and it will lead to, and it's just a picture of making a decision. Or you can decide. You, I believe, is the emphasis here, can decide to be filled with the Spirit. And, I think it was one of the famous preachers used to go on about the Holy Spirit, and somebody said to them, why do you keep on about being filled with the Spirit? He said, very simple. I leak. and I need to be filled again and again. And I will take from this scripture that the initiative is ours to do. And what I wanted to show today, a little bit, is some of the things, and it is only some of the things, that the Holy Spirit does in us, which I believe helps us towards that place of freedom. And the first thing is, he reveals the Father to us. What am I looking at there? The Spirit we receive, that you received, brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And again, because you are his sons, God has sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts. And the Spirit calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave. No, we're free. Because God's child, since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Now, I expect many of you have heard that the word Abba, I think it's from the Aramaic, and somebody might want to correct me here, but it's an intimate word for father. I mean, arguably you could say daddy. There are implications of the word of commitment and so on and obedience and all that, but basically it's a very, very intimate word. Father can be formal. Daddy. Last week we joined in on Zoom because we were in UK, and we went to, after the meeting, went to get a gourmet meal at Wetherspoons. We sat next door to us, in the table next to us, is a father and his daughter. And just suddenly out of the blue, I guess she was 9, 10, 11, I don't know, something like that. She suddenly said, Daddy, I love you. Yeah. Oh, sweetheart, I love you too. Just an intimate moment that wasn't meant for my ears. But I think the Holy Spirit is trying to do something like that. I didn't give you that scripture. Now, years ago, just after the Stone Age, I was a youth leader. And I even came across a certificate from Democratic Council the other day proving it. And I was very keen, apart from the fun, I want to see these kids born again. I want to see them baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we had a thing about the Holy Spirit one day. You can see the lady there, it was in her house. And I think it was the girl at the very back. We said, would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? Yeah, well, some of them did. And we sat down. And graciously, the Holy Spirit came down in real power. And the strange thing which, first of all, threw me was that girl at the back. She started this. Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. And I thought, should I stop her? I mean, what's going on here? Daddy, I love you. And of course, remember the scripture. I've never seen it before or since, but she suddenly had this revelation as the Holy Spirit came upon her, what a wonderful dad God the Father is. And it opened up something for her, and it was able to walk more in the knowledge of who he is and what he's done. And again, just to turn my pages. I don't have to keep looking back all the time. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I might be able to prophesy better, so that I might be able to do healing. Oh, hang on, that's not quite what it says. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? To know him better. And I believe the Holy Spirit works within us and helps us to better know the Father, who helps us in walking in the way he wants us to go. And indeed, the second one is very similar. He works in us to reveal the Son. This is a scripture I think Chris touched on the very, very first session when we started on the Trinity. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. And here's Paul. Sorry, I didn't put the reference in, but I think it's Galatians, but almost at the end of his life, here is Paul saying, a couple of years later, he's executed by Nero or somebody. I want to know, hang on, Paul, You've seen miracles. You've seen church planted. You've seen everything going on. But why are you saying, I want to know Christ? Because it's a lifelong journey. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of the resurrection. And he goes on about the fellowship of the sufferings, which indeed he found. And so there it is. And again, I saw something rather fun. Some of us went to India on a number of occasions. And if you wonder why that picture is all girls, because there's tradition out there, a bit weird. So all the girls and ladies sit on one side, and all the boys and the men sit on the other side. So there was an equal group there. But anyway, again, we were talking about the Holy Spirit. And there were some people who said they really wanted to be, you know, blessed by this Holy Spirit. And again, graciously, the Holy Spirit came down. And I was going to get Paul to tell this story because he was more involved than me, but he's not here this morning. He's doing a street party or something. But suddenly there was this girl, probably about 15 or so, and she went into a kind of a trance. And she stayed there for at least half an hour. He spoke to her. She said she wouldn't say anything. She wouldn't respond. In fact, I was getting quite, you know, worried. Paul's a bit more relaxed than me. That's all right. God's doing something in her. Anyway, eventually, when she came out of this sort of trance-like state, meanwhile her parents had come in, because, I mean, I was this local parent just thinking, what's going on here? when she came out of it, the parents were church members, by the way, so they were able to see this. She said she had been with Jesus. And Jesus had become so real and so precious to her. And it was like he was holding her in his arms. And nothing else mattered. It was Jesus. The Holy Spirit came upon her. And the big thing was, she got to know Jesus a bit better. And I think something else, that the Holy Spirit... Actually, I just only added that this morning. Because I don't know if you're enjoying the... shenanigans, did you call it, yesterday? But I had the order of service beside me, and just after the breaking of bread, this phrase came up. Come, Holy Spirit, our soul inspire, teach us to know the Father and the Son. It's not bad for a coronation. There was a couple of lines in between that, actually, but I thought, no, that's great. Come, Holy Spirit, our soul inspire, teach us to know the Father and the Son. Listen, theology is important. Knowledge is important. But what's most important is knowing, not just knowing about, but knowing. I believe the Holy Spirit does that in us and brings us into a place where we can walk in that kind of freedom. So let's look at the next one. To bring transformation. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. That's what we're looking for. We're able to walk in that freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is a process that goes on in us, taking us more and more into the freedom that is ours, you know, as we read from Romans, because of being born again, to walk in this freedom. And again, I was thinking, when have I seen this? I've not seen it happen many times, but there was another very good instance when we were in India. And don't forget the bloke in the white, the light coat, the fellow behind. He's a guy called Durga. And he let me drive his butt putt. Bucket list, done. Thing is, he came, he was a Hindu, his name Durga is the name of an Indian Hindu goddess. I quickly Googled it, goddess of war or something. And he came, and I don't know, there's a bit of a funny guy here, you have to forgive me. he came, and he received prayer, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he got born again. The ensuing thing was, we visited his house, full of idols, and he lived with his dad, hovel actually, got rid of it all. After we left, I wish I'd been there, he wanted to be baptized, and so they baptized him, and during the baptism, he changed his name to Lazarus Paul. Now, Lazarus Paul became an evangelist, and he got married, he's got a little girl. And only last week I was messaging him. He's now in Korea, where he's assistant pastor in a church. And he's dead keen on evangelism, totally transformed by the power of the Spirit. I know we might not all get stuff as dramatic as that, but when he was open to the Holy Spirit began to transform him, and it went step by step by step by step, ever increasing glory. And that's where we can be, and that's where we should be, and which I sometimes waver from because I get a bit complacent, but I want to be pressing on in God. And the ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Okay, let's go on to a couple more practical ones. This one is fairly relevant, I think, today, to help us pray. I don't know about you, but I've been praying for the whole last year. I've been praying regularly about the situation in Ukraine. But I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. I mean, I pray, Lord, stop the war. We all pray that. That's all we ever pray. But sometimes there's a level where the Holy Spirit will, if we allow him, will help us in our weakness. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. I find that the tongues is a good thing here too. You don't know how to pray, so use the tongue that God has given us, if he has. And he who searches the heart of men knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And as we move with the Holy Spirit in this way, again, I believe it's a part of the whole business of being free to be and do what God wants us to be. And it's something I blow hot and cold on all of this. But sometimes you get down to it and you say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to pray. Please help me here. And finally, because I've been in trouble if we go on much longer, to bring us power. This is really important. And I love this. There's two scriptures here. Where's the other one? There we go. Firstly, the one that most people know about, the one that came at Pentecost. There we go. The one that came Pentecost. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to all the ends of the earth. There's an article in this month's Christianity magazine which was reflecting on this verse, and it stated that there were, I forget now, I should have written it down, however many countries there are in the world, and if his research is right, every country, not every person, obviously, not every tribe, but every country in the world knows, has some knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is some presence there about Jesus. To the ends of the earth. Most of us won't go to the ends of the earth, but we will be going to work, or school, or college, or whatever we're doing. And we can be a witness for him. But I also like this second scripture. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is not just to do, although it is to do. The power of the Holy Spirit is to help us to be. Walk in our freedom. Walk in the thing that God has given us to do, because I believe God is actually up to something in this country. I was going to expand on this, but I'll be in trouble, so I won't. But there are little things going on, talks from Pete Gregg, from HTB, Bishop of Lancaster in particular, has seen visions, that God is on the move. And I have said to the Lord, Lord, I might be 80, but please let me be around to see a new move of the Spirit move through this nation. But he needs people like you and me to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be walking in it. Now we're